Super Friends with Eric Esquivel.
Welcome back to Super Friends. I am joined today by a guy who is a playwright, a comic book author, and a general man of action, Alex Wolinetz.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man. I really, really, really am excited today to talk about the piece that you brought. So let's talk about what your favorite Superman story is.
So yeah, we were sort of talking about different things, and I was sort of like, oh, what I always thought, like, Superman's, like, background and his, like, the fact that he was created by Jews was interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, didn't he, like, beat up Hitler once?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up, and he doesn't actually beat up Hitler. It's not the Captain America thing, which is...
Yeah, not a punch in the jaw.
Yeah,
he threatens it, though.
He threatens it, but yeah. He doesn't, which is, I think, we'll talk about that.
I want to, let's go get tattoos after this.
Yes.
Of that panel.
So it's from this weird two-page comic from Look Magazine.
Yeah.
It's entitled How Superman Would End the War.
From February 1940, so we're 2 years into Superman, and this is like a bio article about Siegel and Schuster.
Which it's like a cool promo piece, yeah.
And they're like, there's this new kid in town, and it's sweeping the nation. He's called Superman. And they talk about how, like, Americans like their fantasy raw. I like how they described him. You know, they're like, he's this two-fisted man of action.
As opposed to just a thing kids like.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But they're talking it up like it's this cool, like, playboy sophisticated kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I really like that in the modern era, we're like, oh, that Boy Scout, he's so lame. But back in the day, he was, like, throwing around, you know, evil people, like landlords who charge too much money and hit,
yes,
like fighting like people who beat their wives and stuff. And he was this like social avenging angel.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because a lot of the comics during that era were more viscerally gross sometimes and like had that stuff. And Superman was not. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes you forget that they were not all Boy Scouts. The comic books that era kind of went all over the place.
Yeah, and the perspective of the creators really informed them. Like, Siegel,
yes,
and Schuster are amazing. That's what this whole thing is about.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, so the basically the comic is that they're just fighting a war, and Superman just, like, kidnaps Hitler and Stalin and takes them to the League of Nations, that esteemed, still-standing institution, the League of Nations. And
yeah. It's amazing. So it's a two-page comic that wasn't in DC Comics. It was made exclusively for Look Magazine by Siegel and Schuster, and they were allowed to use the Superman character in an agreement with National.
Yeah.
And the first panel is him actually in, like, the trench that we see in Wonder Woman, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. The No Man's Land.
Yeah. So I think that movie might have even pulled from this, where we see Superman there actually fighting on like, boots on the ground, fighting against Nazis.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting. I wish that in the modern era we had stuff like that. Like, I would love to see him fighting Al-Qaeda. I would love to see him more of, like, taking an active role in a real-world scenario.
Yeah. And, I mean, we can get into this a little bit more, but, like, the interesting thing is that this is still early in the war.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, U.S. is not really that boots on the ground yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a huge divide over whether to enter the war and not enter the war.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into this a little bit more, but there was a huge issue for American Jews didn't want to be seen as overly promoting intervention.
Yeah.
They wanted the U.S. government to intervene, but they were sort of still new immigrants and didn't want to seem like they were subversively controlling things.
They didn't want to stand out.
Right. Yeah. So they, like, pressured it, but they didn't want to come out too much. And almost there was this movement of, like, no, don't go in Europe because we are here and we don't want you to hate us,
mm-hmm,
if it goes wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
oh, God, what a hard position to be in for an American Jew.
Yeah. So there's sort of like this soft influence thing where it's like, we as Jews are not saying you should go fight in Europe, but Superman can go.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the first time that Superman refers to himself as non-Aryan, too,
yes,
which I really,
yes,
liked. He picks, he's like, Hitler, I'd like to land a non-Aryan punch on your jaw, but instead, and he takes him over to the military.
Put me down, you're hurting me, is the, yeah.
It's so awesome. So, because, like we talked about before the podcast, the name Superman comes,
yeah,
from what?
Nietzsche.
Yeah, the Übermensch.
Yeah, the Übermensch.
Which
is, like, I think, ultimately nihilistic view of, like, humanity is, like, society is bad. We need to completely reconstruct society to make this perfect, mm-hmm, man who does all of this stuff.
Who's above good and evil, which,
yes,
is like a nonsense, cowardly, 14-year-old edgy boy,
yes,
way to think about reality beyond good and evil.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
So I think, like, what's interesting is that, like, they've now changed the translation of Übermensch to, like, the overman,
mm-hmm,
like the greater man. But when Simon and Schuster, like, when this came out.
Siegel and Schuster, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Not.
Yeah.
I looked this up. The translation in that era was the Superman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that was even though we now were like, no, it's not Superman. No, that's what they were.
It's like, how ballsy is that? That they took this name that was being used against them, these like two Jewish teenagers.
Yeah.
And then just like they flipped the narrative. Like, no, a Superman would be someone who defends the weak, who believes in truth and justice and the American way. And like, this is an actual Superman. Here, we're gonna refute that claim with our own. And,
yeah.
And there's one ultimately. How amazing is that?
No, it's bonkers. And I think like, when you ask me to come on, and I'm like, I never vibed with Superman that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I referred to him as Goyesha.
Yeah. At least Clark Kent persona.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think Superman is Goyesha. Okay. Clark Kent isn't.
Oh, okay.
That's
interesting.
And translation, Goyesha is just Yiddish for just Goy, which is just anyone that's not Jewish. Basically.
Sure.
I'll try and make sure. I'll stay away from the Yiddish.
No, that's good. I like it. That's why I'm having you on. This is awesome.
But yeah, for me, it was always like, well, I think in some ways it was on purpose,
mm-hmm.
that Superman was the perfect American, that he did justice for right and for good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, it was like, I guess like 11-year-old anti-imperialist Alex.
Yeah.
Like didn't necessarily vibe with that.
Sure.
Where it's like, yeah. And like, yes, America should be good. It's not
mm-hmm.
bleh, like something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in this your podcast, it's like a lot of people being like, secretly, well, I was actually more of a Batman fan.
Yeah, as if I'm going to like flip a table immediately.
Yeah. And I was trying to figure that out. Like, why am I more of a Batman fan than a Superman guy? And I think literally, I'm like, I'm not going to analyze this. I think it's because Batman the Animated Series came out in like 94.
Sure.
So I think I just watched a lot of that in syndication.
Why do you think people compare? Like, it's so weird that when you mention Superman, people immediately start talking about Batman. They don't talk about Spider-Man or Green Lantern or Wonder Woman. They're just like, Batman.
The DC thing, I think. I mean, like, I think I was a bigger Spider-Man fan than both.
Sure.
But I think they are like a weird shadow of each other.
Okay.
But I think, to be fair to myself and not overanalyze it, I think it was just the animated Superman came out in 96.
Sure.
And I was then in Pokemon.
Sure.
So I got the Batman thing a couple of years before.
Yeah. I get real pretentious with it. And I always think that, like, narrative is a means by which human beings supplement whatever feeling they don't have in their life.
Yeah.
So when we grew up in sort of peaceful times in the 90s where America wasn't, like, at war or anything, the darker element was very exciting and enticing to us because we didn't have that naturally. So having things like Sandman and Death and Batman and the whole goth culture and the Matrix, we were supplementing that because life was kind of great. And then in eras like the 1940s or now, where it's really bleak and dark, Superman's getting popular again.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman's getting popular
again.
Yeah,
it's like, I wanted, like, oh, Wonder Woman wins with nonviolence. It's great. Like, oh, I love this. Like, me now wants more of that.
Sure.
It's like tired of the cynical perspective.
And in this story, Superman beats Hitler with nonviolence.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Well, and then doesn't even like he just like grabs them and just like, here's justice, deal with them, as opposed to it's literally like hoping that like legislatively we can resolve this.
Yeah.
As opposed to,
it's more American way than vigilantism, right? He puts him before a tribunal.
Yes.
And he's like, democratically we'll handle this.
A world tribunal where it's like, we're all gonna decide this. It's just, if we all sat down and talked, we can figure this out.
And they even talk in the bottom of the last page of that comic, like in the margins of the bottom, that this is a commonplace thing for Superman, that he, like, they've had issues in the actual comic proper where he's taken two chieftains from warring tribes and put them together.
I love the sentence, he once stopped a war in, quote, somewhere in South America.
Yeah, they're sort of nebulous about it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the weirdest thing about this entire thing is it never mentions they're Jews.
Yeah, interesting, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a part of the story that is kind of glossed over a lot.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me. Like, that informs the character so deeply.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think I want to keep this, like, in perspective. I am one Jew. I am not a...
You count as two Jews to me, because I like you so much.
Thank you. But yeah, I want to just, like, make sure that going forward, like, my Jewish experience is, I'm not speaking for
absolutely
all Jews.
Yeah. You're not a sanctioned mouthpiece of anybody. You're yourself.
Yes.
Like, any other guest in the podcast talking about your own life and your own experience.
Yes. Yeah. But, like, when I talk about, like, Jewish inspiration, this is my interpretation of it. This is not...
Gotcha.
But yeah, so, like, Siegel and Shuster were children of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
They came end of the 19th century through the... There was a big wave of Jewish immigration.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually when my dad's father moved from... was in Belarus, then Palestine, then came to America.
Oh, wow.
So it's a similar time.
Cool.
And it was sort of this moment of like mass immigration where they let a lot of people in. Mm-hmm. And then in the 20s, there was a huge backlash against it.
Yeah.
So they're writing this series in a time where they're seeing a lot of anti-Semitism and mm-hmm. a lot of anti-immigration rhetoric coming out nationally.
I wonder what that's like.
Yes. Yeah. So they're sort of writing this reaction to it.
Yeah.
And the comic book industry at that time was basically a lot of artists and writers who came to New York couldn't get hired by most of the advertising agencies mm-hmm. or art places because they were Jewish.
Yeah, yeah.
So the comic book industry was basically the only people that would take them.
Guys would change their names, too. Like, Kurtzberg became Kirby.
Yeah,
Jack Kirby.
I wrote them down, like, the joke is always, like, that Stan Lee was Stanley Lieber. Like, yep. It's just literally his name.
Yep, yep, yep.
And it's like, I mean, John Stewart still does that now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's Jonathan Stewart Leibowitz.
Yeah, yeah. Frank Black does that, too. Like, Schwartz, right, is actually his name. Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Simon was Jaime Simone. Yep. Like, they are Jews.
Yeah, yeah.
And it... Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, which is a great book, sort of...
I love that.
...does a fictionalized version of what the industry was like back
yeah.
then.
Superman, you know, my experience is, like, I'm a Chicano guy, and like, we're in a period right now where we're not anywhere near what you guys experienced at all as the Jewish community, but it's scary, the parallels that we're having. And, like, guys, like, I loved George Perez when I was a kid, and he used to leave the tilde, the accent mark, off yeah. of his name to get more work. And, like, guys, like Jose Garcia, whatever. There's a bunch of guys who have like changed their names or shortened them, or been miscredited throughout the years, and it's
a weird balancing act because like they know that people who share that background are going to know.
Yeah,
it's like this weird whistle. Like we can't make everyone know this, but you know I'm this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. The little bits of Hebrew they sneak into Kryptonian language.
Yeah, like Kal El is Hebrew from like. Mouth of God. Like,
yeah, I love that. It's little winks and nods yeah. to the community in a time when like you couldn't go full out, unfortunately.
Yeah. And like I wrote some stuff down just because I want to make sure to get it
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But like Siegel wrote for a time under another pseudonym of Hugh Langley, which is just like the most like ridiculous name. Mm-hmm. And I actually found this thing. I didn't know Zisha Breitbart. Do you know about that?
No.
So he was like this like... He was called, like, the Jewish strongman, and he, like, went around to, like, circuses and stuff in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
And was, just, like, this big, burly Jewish Jew. Mm-hmm. And, like, they were writing that, like, there's no way that Siegel and Shuster didn't see this guy as
kids. Oh, cool, cool.
And, like, if you look at him, like, it kind of looks like Superman. Like, he's this big.
Didn't he, like, wear, like, the red trunks outside?
Yeah.
And, like, the costume looks sort of like that.
Like, yeah, again, Cavalier and Clay stole all of this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
just, like, made it a fictionalized version. Mm-hmm, but, mm-hmm. like, they were sort of, like, looking at this image and then making it into something that was acceptable mm-hmm. to Americans.
Do you think that they wanted to make Clark Kent a Jewish character and an editor told them no? Or do you think that they just never pitched that because it was unimaginable?
Yeah, I don't think it was. I don't think it would have worked. I don't think kids would have... It was primarily for kids. Mm-hmm. I don't think kids would have gotten it.
Why is that?
I mean, I think you want to make something at that era for kids that the idea of like, oh, this character is this that's different. Is mm-hmm. You're not going to explain the difference between religions, but
sure.
this idea of this outsider mm-hmm. who comes in out of nowhere and is hated but then does good things.
Yeah.
Kids will understand that.
Yeah, it's so universal. Like, we're talking about, like, being a Mexican guy. Like, the idea of an immigrant coming here. He's literally an undocumented immigrant,
yes.
Clark Kent, and, like, that's really powerful. And it's just such an American story that any ethnicity can, like, glob onto.
Right.
And be like, oh, that's me.
Well, I'm glad he's not Jewish. Like, I'm glad mm-hmm. that anyone can put themselves on him.
Yeah, they don't explicitly make him anything. There's been times when they're like, he's Protestant, and everyone's like, shut up. Like, he's whatever I yes. want him to be. Calm down.
His religion is... what we want America to be.
His religion yes. is truth, justice, and the American way.
Right.
And there's nothing more beautiful than that.
And everyone has a different definition of American way, mm-hmm. which can be good or bad.
I've always thought that it was explicitly that you can come here and become anything.
Of
like,
course.
Because, like, he's an immigrant on a rocket. And, like, that's the whole thing that he fights for is, like, the little man. And yeah, yeah.
I mean, but there's tons of, like, Moses imagery
yeah.
of putting the child in the basket mm-hmm. and sending it out and being adopted by non-Jews.
Yeah.
But then at time returning to what was his original goal.
Yeah.
Almost accidentally. Like
yeah, exactly. As a Jewish guy, can I ask you, does it bum you out all the messianic imagery where he's like just Christ all the time? Like in the movies, they have
yeah.
him in front of a stained glass window. That
yeah.
really bums me out.
I mean, to be fair, like, I think you can make an argument for it as interpretation. Like, Jesus was Jewish.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you can't
yeah.
ignore that
of
part.
Of course, of course.
So I think, like, I mean, I'm not going to say like different art is can't do a different reflection of him.
Sure, sure.
But I think they're the last couple of like major Superman movies miss out on that humanity part of him, mm-hmm. where they make him into this deified figure mm-hmm. and remove his humanity. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a Jew, but like reading about what Jesus said is a lot more interesting because it's a lot more complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
And we turn him into this just this like perfect person. But when you see like, oh, he fought bankers mm-hmm. and sort of had all these weird
and hung out with outcasts.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like a rebel and you get the personality of him. He's a much more inspirational figure. Mm-hmm. So when you just see like Superman is just this like glazed over eyes over everything.
Sure, sure.
You're just like, no, that he should be human. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like I think the Clark Kent character is more Jewish than Superman.
Can we talk about that? That's so interesting to me, the duality of those characters and how you perceive his like ethnicity expressed through that. And
yeah, so I think like, first of all, he's a writer.
Yeah.
Which is what, I mean, a lot of my friends are journalists and I'm a creative writer and there's a lot of similarities between the two. Mm-hmm. And I think like journalist is like the approved, we're writing about comic book writers, but we can't say that. So journalist is kind of close.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I think Clark Kent is this guy who is very quiet and very interned, like mm-hmm. turning in on himself mm-hmm. and literally just like hiding his muscles, putting on glasses. He's very like nebbishy. And again, like he's like very like weak and nervous and scared.
And those are qualities you associate with being a Jewish American?
Yes. Well, I think that's how they were feeling a little bit, where uh-huh. they didn't want to be noticed.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping your head down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the 40s? Why would he do that in the 40s?
Yeah. And I think a really interesting commentary on this is in Watchmen. Because mm-hmm. I think people go to like, oh, Alan Moore's making commentary on all of the major superheroes. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Manhattan is Superman. Mm-hmm. It's what is if this man who controlled everything, why did he still care? Mm-hmm. And that's a cool view of Superman, but I think the Dan Driver Clark Kent connection is the much more interesting one.
All right, let's talk about that. That's great.
Which is that basically he's this guy who doesn't have good self-esteem, mm-hmm. is very beaten down, but that, I mean, to be fair, like, is so repressed that he can't, like, be sexual or attractive until he's wearing his costume.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally impotent until he takes on this other image of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Driver, like, it's Clark Kent. It's that same, what's the word for same sound, but not the same letter?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. But Dan Dreiberg, it's the same superhero thing. Yeah. And he's like, needs to have that thing where he can escape to. But mm-hmm. in his own life, he is sort of like this repressed, scared guy.
Sure, sure. And those more positive qualities, those more like masculine qualities, he doesn't associate as being genuine. Like
right.
It's a costume. He puts on a cape and then he's that. I think Clark stops mumbling when he's Superman.
Yeah.
You know, it's his podcast voice and he's Superman. And, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think I'd love to see more of Superman as he is the naturally bumbling one. Mm-hmm. That is more of an act that he puts on. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's, you see a lot of Superman and not enough of Clark Kent sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I've always felt that Superman was his highest self. It's who he's aspiring to be. And like when he forgets to bring home milk, he's like, dang it, Clark. But then when he like remembers to tell his mom happy birthday, he's like, that Superman did that. It's all the positive qualities he associates with Superman. Yeah.
Yeah. So but I think like the struggle of him is cool. And I don't say, like, I'm tired of like depressed Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I need Superman to be positive, but I want to see him. I think, you know what? I think maybe the reason the Batman thing comes up a lot mm-hmm. is that you see like Bruce putting on the costume.
Sure.
And that the image is always, he is Batman, that Superman's secret identity is Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. But I want to see Superman as the identity of Clark Kent sometimes. Because mm-hmm. I think he wants to live as Clark Kent.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things he can do that are really powerful as Clark that Superman couldn't do. Like the journalism stuff, that's why he loves Lois Lane. Right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. As a writer, he has more of a reach that even Superman does.
Yeah. And I actually think it's interesting him being a journalist, because working with friends who are journalists, like, I always say, like, they can tell me the story mm-hmm. and then they can't report it because they're missing, like, the puzzle piece.
Yeah.
And I say, like, well, as a writer, I'll just steal it because I can make up that, like, final puzzle piece.
Exactly.
But journalists have to be very removed from the stories they're reporting.
Yeah, and Superman can't say that Superman is, or Clark Kent can't say that Superman is a resource that he's going to.
Right.
Like, he can't overhear with super hearing and then report on it. He has to prove it with earthly means, and that must be infinitely frustrating.
Yeah, but he can then run out of the office and fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is antithetical to journalism.
Yes, yes.
So I think that's a really interesting way to explore. Like, that's a weird, he's not a good journalist because he intervenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that's a really interesting part of him, that that's why he's not a great journalist, because he has to put himself into the story.
He has to occasionally let bad things happen, too, because, like, Superman can immediately small-term fix stuff, but if Clark Kent uncovers corruption and writes an expose about it,
right,
he can put an end to it. But, like, how do you let things happen that you know are negative?
Right.
That's an insane problem that I've never seen addressed with a character in my entire life.
Yes.
And, like, we're in such an era right now that we just need this guy. Like, the idea of truth versus fake news.
Yes.
You know, like, that's the first thing that he fights for. And, like, what is truth now? That's insane. Justice, like, we see that depending on the color of your skin, you get a different kind of justice in America. That's insane.
Yeah.
You said, what is the American way? What is the American way? Like, oh my God, there's never been a more relevant time for this guy to be awesome. Like, I wish that we had Siegel and Schuster around still to comment on, like, modern day stuff. We get people online that are so nervous about Superman being, like, a social justice warrior. And you see him fighting Hitler.
Every comic is a social, like, that's what they were all trying to do.
That's
what,
like, superheroes, let's just stop saying superheroes and say social justice warriors from now on.
It rules.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I think something about, like, Jewish identity in America that is unique and different is that you can change your last name and present as white.
Yes. Yeah.
You can be, you know, Jacob Kurtzenberg and then change, oh, just Jack Kirby. He's a white dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, because, but you always know inside you're Jewish and you're seeing the world through, you know, an outsider's eyes while you're sort of can sneak into the, you know, white Protestant world.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the idea that, like, you can see the world differently and then hide in it is sort of why a lot of the comic book characters have those secret identities.
Yeah, like, superhero comics, it's a Jewish culture, and, like, that other people are allowed to play in, which is really nice, but it was everything that we think of as comics and superheroes were established by Jewish guys.
Yeah.
Like, Will Eisner creating the graphic novel, you know, Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, Siegel and Schuster, and everybody cool who created, like, Marvel and DC, they're all Jewish guys.
Yeah.
You see, like, anti-Semitic comic fans on Twitter and shit now, and, like, how is that even possible? You know?
Frank Miller.
But he's a Jewish guy too.
Yeah, but yeah, the weird fashy elements of it.
Yeah, it's so interesting, man. I'm really excited that you, like, attach to the character this way. I've never had anybody talk about this with me on the podcast before.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I think, and there's, like, a lot of, like, the clearest connection from, like, Jewish literature is the concept of the golem.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I mean, later on, like, the thing is literally the golem.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was sort of this ancient mixture of, like, religion and ingenuity where this rabbi in the 1800s in, like, Europe, the town was being attacked by Russians for during, like, the pogroms and these different attacks, and he literally builds this man out of clay,
mm-hmm.
which is very, you know, Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And he's this huge sort of rock dude who protects society.
And he, on his forehead, he draws a special character.
Yes.
That is the, what is it?
It's the Hebrew word for emet,
okay.
Which means truth.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Oh, amazing. My mind, smoke sprung out of my ears right now. And it animates the golem.
Right.
And he protects this village of Jewish people, right?
Yeah, but the point is that power can be all corrupting, and power, especially not divinely created power.
Mm-hmm.
When man creates it, man can go, like, you can, too much power is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this false safe, which is that if he ever starts to attack too much, you erase the first letter on his hand, and mm-hmm. it changes the word from emet, which means truth, to met, which means death.
Oh, okay.
And that's sort of, like, to sort of, like, shut him down.
Is that, like, apocryphal, that story, or is it actually text?
No, it's not in the Bible. It's okay. Like a folklore thing.
Okay, that's really cool. I've heard that before, but never, like, that the word had to let you erase the first letter and it becomes death. That's really interesting.
It's, like, this cool way of, like, erasing it. And, like, one of my plays, it's a time travel play.
Mm-hmm.
And so the name of the play is Ravel.
Okay.
And the way it's called that because he finds this time machine that just says travel on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally alludes to it, the golem in the play
mm-hmm.
and the thing.
But, cool, cool. Can I read that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Excellent.
But that, I sort of took that concept. So the word is that in order to turn on the time machine, you have to press the word T, which covers up the letter T. So you just see ravel. And the word ravel is the opposite of unravel. So it basically means to like screw things up and to completely fray everything. Which is what time travel is about.
That's cool.
So it's sort of like, oh, I took this thing and then made into a modern version of it.
I love that. I love that, man. That's awesome. So you did what all these guys did creating superheroes?
Yes.
Even the idea of like creating a built-in weakness is very superhero-y.
Yes.
It's like having a kryptonite or something.
And I mean, sometimes I think that's, oh, you're a Jew. We figured it out. And, you know, I think it's that lingering self-doubt is most usually the weakness. It's the part where you want to hide yourself. And being revealed as yourself in different light, that's usually, like, Superman's literally a different light makes him weak. Is sort of that narrative thing of, this is the thing I feel self-conscious about myself. Is usually your weakness.
Is there, like, an inherent sort of self-deprecating modesty, do you think, in Jewish masculinity?
Yes.
That is present in Clark Kent, too?
Well, I mean, I don't want to talk about Woody Allen right now because that's a whole different conversation. But Philip Roth, there is this image of Jewish men feeling very demasculated, very repressed. And it's I think it's because very religious Jews, men are not supposed to work. Men are supposed to study and be scholars, and their wives are supposed to pay for it.
Oh, I had no idea that was an element of culture. So what? Explain that to me again. So like the women are like the earners.
They clean. They do other now. They'll clean. They'll do other things. But the men are supposed to be the head of the community and study all day,
but not working at all.
No.
So how does that work in society?
It was sort of like a society thing where like you do that and then you had a job on the side. But that when it was a Jewish community, it was just sort of you did all of that and then the jobs that white people let you do.
Okay. I gotcha.
So like a lot of the jobs that Jewish people are attributed to, and it's like, oh, the Jewish conspiracy that they control everything, is mostly because a lot of it was that in the Middle Ages, Jews were the only ones to allow to bank.
Okay.
Like I can't think of it right now. The Shakespeare play. Venice. Why can't I?
If it was a comic book, I would have told you 10 minutes ago. It's okay.
I'm so embarrassed.
We'll edit it in.
Yes, thank you. The Merchant of Venice.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is. Yeah, took me a second. It's literally about the fact that Jews were the only ones that could do banking because technically charging interest was against Christian values.
Oh.
But Jews could do that because they were not Christians.
Like for their Christian bosses?
Yes.
So they That's were okay. so infinitely funny.
It was okay if
funny.
The Jews sinned.
Oh, my God.
So a lot of those jobs that Christians couldn't do, they gave to Jews. But then they're like, okay, so we'll bank.
Reap benefits from it.
Yeah. But what a sort of interpretation I take a lot from it is that the Old Testament, I shouldn't even be calling it the Old Testament because it implies that the New Testament is as valid.
I like to
as
call
a Jew.
It's the pre-crisis Testament.
Yes. It's I always joke that like the new Jesus is like the cool retcon sequel where it's like God isn't as mean. He's a much cooler dude.
Yeah, he's Kyle Rayner. He's not Hal Jordan.
Yeah. But that all of the, you know, Jewish figures argue with God.
Mm-hmm.
God tells them to do something and they're like, seriously, why?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to kill my son? Like, this is kind of screwed up.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Like, Moses gets mad and like, hits a rock, and that's why he can't go to the promised land.
So interesting. I'm thinking of like Will Eisner illustrations of just guys like shaking their fist at the heavens.
That's every Bible story.
Yeah.
Noah's like, why do I have to build this boat? Like, this is ridiculous.
Seems a little much.
Yeah. Like, and why me? Why are you making me do this?
Yeah.
You could have picked anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Why me? And God's just like, because I told you to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that superhero thing of why me? Why do I have these powers? Like,
the reluctant hero
stuff
in the Campbell journey. Yeah.
So I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
Interesting. Oh, that's so cool.
Like, why are we the chosen people? Why are we the ones who have to be just as opposed to everybody
all
else?
This responsibility that comes with this power. It's very every like Peter Parker has that too. Also created by two Jewish guys.
Yes.
That's so interesting.
And the thing is that like Judaism is one of the rare religions that does not proselytize.
Mm.
It doesn't go around asking more people to be Jewish.
Yeah.
In fact, it's very hard to convert to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Versus everyone religious, like, we want you to be Christian versus Jews take on this thing like, we are the chosen people. We got to be the small little pocket. We don't want to get bigger.
Sure.
So it's like that separation where you feel different than everyone around you.
I gotcha.
Is very superhero-y.
Yeah, yeah. I guess even with Kryptonians too, where there aren't that many of them, and it's a very like bonding thing.
Yeah, they're flying it from Europe and then just stuck on in the U.S.
Okay, I'm gonna quick go read the Talmud real fast.
Sure,
and we'll be right back.
Yeah, like 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so. Oh my God, you passed me the coolest thing during the break. You wrote this for your thesis in college?
No, not even that. It was my freshman intro writing class.
You were the coolest person I know. Read this title.
It was, so the class was Images of Jewish Masculinity. So my final paper, which I did really well on, I'll give myself that, is Kal-El and the Voice of God, Jewish Men and Masculinity in Metropolis.
That is the coolest title for anything ever. Can I make this available for the listeners to read?
Can I like rewrite it? I have not read this in 10 years, but yes, I will. Yes.
I'm so excited.
If they want to be like a freshman like English intro courses essay, they're more than welcome to.
There's a couple of nerds, myself included, yes, who want to do that more than anything else. So I'm going to bully you and let me put it online. Okay, break it down for me.
I think I kind of covered most of it.
But this class was about masculinity in Jewish,
yes,
culture.
And so a lot of that was sort of the history of, and I think it was a really interesting class because I think, clearly, and not this is a whole other conversation of, there needs to be more women in media and art and the feminine understanding of writing. And what was cool about this class was that understanding what masculinity is a really important thing.
Yes.
It's not broken down enough.
Yes.
And the idea of man being weak or struggling and that being okay and that deconstructing that is equally as valid.
Yes. And the role of what a man's role is in society isn't addressed at all anymore,
right,
culturally. Like, it drives me insane that, like, you can't have it both ways. You can't get all the benefits of being a man and then not have the responsibility, like we're talking about.
Yes.
Of if someone's, like, harassing a woman on the street and you don't do anything, then you don't get to earn the perks of being a man.
Yes.
Like, you get so much because you have to also give so much. Like, it's insane that we don't treat masculinity as this, like, responsibility.
Yeah. And it felt weird to, like, take a class on, like, I should be understanding the other perspective. But like, oh no, this is about breaking down my own stuff, which is equally as valid.
Yeah, feminism, which is the thing that branches off into all of this,
yeah,
is just the idea that we're talking about this and working together as a community. And like, if men handle their stuff and women handle their stuff, then we come together and work together. That's the ideal society. So yeah.
I'm just going through to see if there's anything that I like forgot to bring in. No, I think I mostly just stole all of the stuff to talk about.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So what other icons did folks dissect in that class? Do you know?
Like 10 years ago, I'm trying to remember. But like a lot of them focused on like traditional stuff out of the Bible.
Sure.
Breaking those figures down.
I love that you chose Superman, though. That makes me so happy. You're one of us. That's great.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the Thing is literally Jewish, mm-hmm, in the comics. Like, he has a bar mitzvah, which is the funniest issue
ever.
Can you
please tell us about that? Because the idea. So tell us what a bar mitzvah is, first of all.
Of course.
For listeners who don't know.
So the bar mitzvah is that traditionally a man who is, when a boy turns 13, he is now considered a man. Mm-hmm. In Judaism, in order to have a congregation, you need to have a certain number of people around. Mm-hmm. It's the boy now being old enough to do that. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that when you're 13, you do a recital, you become a man in society.
Mm-hmm.
It's slowly devolved into kid does really short service and then has a huge party for all of his friends.
I love that there's a thing
my
in culture.
Theme, my theme was Japan and anime.
That's amazing.
Which is like a whole other thing.
I think every culture that is healthy has that sort of thing for boys where there's a ritual where you ascend to manhood and there's the understanding that there's a lot of stuff that comes with that where you get stuff, but you also have to do stuff for it. And I think that the reason we're failing as a culture right now, men, like we're acting like just monsters, is because we've given that away. We're not engaging in that ritual anymore.
Yeah, and we leaned into the party part afterwards and not the responsibility part before.
Not the like, here's how to take care of business, here's what a man is, like kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, high school should really just teach, here's how banking works. Like, here's how to write a check and do your invoices.
Here's how to talk to a woman.
Yes.
And like, there's no boy that doesn't want to know how to talk to a woman. Like, oh my God, I'm the most popular thing in the world. Here's how to solve an argument without having to hit your friend or get hit by your friend.
Yes.
Like, here's how to not emotionally react to criticism, you wuss, by throwing a punch. Like, here's how to just be a man and take an insult and
I think
like,
this
not
is why
care.
All of my friends at high school were pretty much girls. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. And I love that there's Judaism had that built into it of like, here's how to be a man. It's
I mean,
awesome.
Like quinceañeras are the same sort
yes,
of idea.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I hope I pronounced that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. There's these cultural rituals that are so important, and we scoff at as modern people, and then society crumbles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think we forget the importance of what they mean, as opposed to it's a party.
Yeah. Oh, I get a check from my grandpa.
But yeah. So the funny thing is that traditionally, the idea is that after you live, like my grandfather, when he turned 83, traditionally the idea was that a regular man that was not living to 120, as all the forefathers did, 70 was like an expected life term.
Mm-hmm.
sorry. So after he turned 70 and then became 83, the rabbi said, oh, you can get a second bar mitzvah.
Which is such an interesting idea, because it's like a second life.
And it was great because this was a man who lost his family during the Holocaust and had built up this whole family to have this celebration for him when he turned 83, to have this second connection to society was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess I wrote down who wrote that thing issue of Fantastic Four. The rabbi tells him that now that he's been the thing for 13 years, he can now have another bar mitzvah. He didn't have a first one.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that he's been the thing for 13 years, he can have his bar mitzvah
as
now.
A superhero. It's
so
cool.
But then like he goes like gambles with all the other superheroes afterwards. Mm-hmm. But it's just this like funny thing where it's like this weird metatextual thing where he's like literally looks like the golem.
Yeah, yeah.
Is now just hanging out.
Oh, it's so awesome.
And I think this is a commentary of it, which is that basically in this issue of the Fantastic Four, I wrote this down. If anyone wants to look it up, it is number 56, volume 3.
Okay.
The story is about the Thing going to his old neighborhood in New York City. Mm-hmm. And there's this old man who owns a Judaica shop, like a pawn shop.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like reteaching him about his like junior lineage and coming back to the community. And then the Thing comes in one day and the guy's been beat up by a supervillain. And has like a heart attack and is out in the street, and the Thing is able to save him.
Awesome.
And what I realized while I was researching this is that's how I want to make sure I get this right.
One of the boys who wrote Superman.
Dad's.
His dad died.
Died. Yes.
Yeah.
I can remember which one. I want to check it down. But yeah, that his dad got robbed, had a heart attack, and his son was not able to save him.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the Superman power fantasy. Right. What if you could save your dad? Yeah.
So I feel like the fact that this guy wrote this issue about like a Jewish character and literally made this commentary, I think it's like a direct allusion.
I agree, yeah.
Of the superhero was able to then save.
Yeah. That's always how Jonathan Kent dies, too. Yes. You know, it's an every incarnation of Superman. It's always a heart attack, too, because that's how his dad
died. It's not the violence of it, but it's the reaction to the violence.
Yeah, it's almost the heartbreaking that I live in a society that this would happen to me.
Right.
And Superman goes about just to correct that society.
Yeah, which I think is an important thing. It's not reacting to violence. It's reacting to that someone was so destroyed by society as a general.
That's also how Batman's mom died. Martha died of a broken heart.
Yes.
It was that his dad got shot, and then she had a heart attack in response to watching that happen.
And she also had the same name as
Martha.
Oh, it's like that would be a cool thing to realize. I didn't realize that. It's like a cool note. They're like, oh, they both have the same name. I wouldn't write an entire movie about it.
Listen, that's why you didn't make the millions of dollars.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you?
But yeah, no, like there's a lot of cool. And again, like I think the point of this is that like it's good because any immigrant can put themselves on top of it.
And in America, 99% of people are immigrants.
Yes.
So, yeah, unless you're a native person, you're an immigrant in this country.
Yeah, and it's actually really interesting because, like, the whole comic book industry faced a ton of trouble in, like, the 40s and 50s going forward because there was this idea that comic books were subversive, that they were trying to, like, Jewish and communist ideas were, like, trying to, like, trick children into accepting each other, God forbid.
I'm always so interested in that coded language where they're like, it's a corruptive influence. You could like just say Jew, just come out and say Jew. We have like, I'm a straight edge person, and like in the community that I grew up in Tucson, that was always like, they would say like thug and drug pusher and drug, like meaning like a brown person.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, like I know what you're saying, and you're like kind of dancing around this issue. And every culture has that like way to be like, I'm not racist, but.
Yes.
I'm like, sneaky, yeah, you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, Brock was called uppity a lot, which is really interesting. Yeah, Clinton never got that. And
Shrill is also a. Yeah. Well, only one gender is ever referred to as shrill.
Yeah, yeah. Bitchy. Yeah, yes. Mean. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I think it's the comic book connection is really cool, where it's, you know, I mean, X-Men is another example where it's X-Men. I feel like X-Men is, to me, when I read it, it's a purely anti-Semitic thing. It's a it's Jews being attacked as a minority. Mm-hmm. Professor X is the much more, we can be ourselves, but amongst a better society. Mm-hmm. That is the idea of Jewish assimilation in America.
Sure, sure.
You can be an American and a Jew together.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus Magneto is, they'll never accept us.
Yeah.
We have to build our own place.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. Yeah.
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 But to me, I read that as like, oh, yeah, this is clearly about Judaism. But then you can go, oh, wait, no, this can also be
Malcolm X
and MLK of,
yeah,
do we rebel and create our own society, or do we try and assimilate and fix this one?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's why comics are so good, because you can read all of these different versions into it.
Yeah. There's an extra Jewish element with the X-Men, too, where they can sort of pass.
Yes, exactly.
And that's really interesting to me. Yeah.
Where they, so some of them can and some of them can't, and mm-hmm. that's the, how do you protect the ones who can't?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So interesting. Yeah, this whole culture is informed by Jewish culture, and that's really, we have a lot to, we're in debt.
We don't control the media. if we did, I wouldn't be doing podcasts.
That's
I'd be
why I
a
had
much
you
better
on
job.
Here. I was going to ask for a gig, man.
Oh, you I can help.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. All right.
But yeah, no, I think like that is the question of like, why do Jews end up being in these positions? And I think there is like that weird introspective part of ourselves. And also we can't be in these other positions because institutional anti-Semitism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also I think having just a cool perspective of like being half in and half out. Like
yeah.
You said you're like kind of white, but kind of not.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting space to occupy. Like someone might like start talking about like immigrants to you.
Yeah.
And then not know that your family experience is like a bunch of immigrants.
Exactly.
Like it's really interesting to hold that spot in society.
And I do want to like make sure I like keep this perspective, which is that I am an Ashkenazi Jew.
Oh, what?
Which, Ashkenazi?
What's
which
that?
Is basically Jews coming from Eastern Europe, which is the majority of American Jews. But I want to make sure that there is other perspectives mm-hmm. of Sephardic Jews, which are Jews from Spain and South Europe
mm-hmm.
who present as Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so they face a different kind of reaction. So like Jewish, I have to remind myself sometimes that like the Jewish reaction, I'm a white Jew. There are more Middle Eastern Jews. There are Spanish Jews that mm-hmm. face different things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to make sure like that Judaism isn't like I'm as an Ashkenazi Jew who came at a certain time. It's a very different experience with different kinds of Jews. But
yeah, yeah.
In general, there is a shared thing. But I want to bring up that there is, you know, issues with race relations within the Jewish community, which are an issue.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is frustrating because, like, we're supposed to be better at this. Like, we know the bad problems with this. Like, so, yeah, Jews are not perfect. We're not great. It's just,
I think any, like, minority group, which I hate that word, like, not group, but,
yeah.
But like, you're sort of looked at as a spokesperson for your entire community.
Of course, yes.
Like, all right, speak for all women now. Just start doing, like, it's such a pressure. And,
yeah, it's like when you're talking to somebody who's outside the community, you defend it.
Yeah.
But then when you're talking with people within the community, you just criticize it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no one else can know we said this.
Yeah, yeah. And even Superman sort of has that where he answers for the crimes of all of Krypton all the time. Like, whenever any villains talk to him, they're like, well, your dad created the Phantom Zone and, like, your culture did this and this and this. And he's like, I didn't. Like, I live in Metropolis and I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But you have to be the symbol of your people all the time. It's so taxing.
And he also has a demand of why'd you save this person and not this person
from
the other side. So he's got there's no middle ground.
So as an adult, you got really interested in Superman. As a kid, you were in the Batman.
I was Batman, and then I was Pokemon, and then actually most of my teenage years I was really like anime and manga. That was like my thing.
That's cool.
And then sort of coming back around, I sort of was able to view comic books as their own thing. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of cool stuff. I started reading like Harvey Pekar and all of these other cool, perspectives, and sort of came around. I'm like, okay, superheroes can be their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the movement towards of giving them their own sort of like short stories of here's a beginning, here's an end,
mm-hmm.
made it a little bit easier for me to get back into.
Sure, sure. As opposed to like the ongoing narrative.
When you come into something as, you know, a 12 or 13 year old and you're like, where do I start? And there's just the nerd fandom has its own issues,
sure.
Being that like, well, you got to read this, and you're not a real fan unless you read these things.
Yeah,
was always really, like why I couldn't get into it. It was like,
where
do I start? Versus like anime manga was just really starting to become really popular. I guess like 2002, 2003.
Yeah, yeah.
you feel like you're on the ground floor of everything.
And Dragon Ball never crosses over with Sailor Moon. Like, you can just read one title and there's no epic crossover
exactly.
and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And it was just, like, digging to find stuff, but everyone was sort of new to it as opposed to 40 years of...
Sure, sure.
Stuff to keep up with.
It's funny, comics culture is its own community where, like, we defend it to outsiders, and then within you're like, are you Marvel or DC? Are you Superman or Batman? Are you this or this?
Well, yeah, I think like that is the, I think like there is something to, I feel like there is more introspection on the Marvel side of being a superhero.
Really?
Well, because I think like, this, I think maybe that's, is that like, I feel like Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman are more like these like Greek gods where they have their foibles, but they are ultimately like these figures that that have to continue existing.
Okay.
Versus Marvel characters can come in and out of popular, but they're all sort of much smaller scale.
Hmm.
I think that there's power to both of them, but to me they're always more like DC are more mythic and superheroes, and Marvel is much more on the ground stuff.
That's funny. Whenever I talk about Marvel heroes, I refer to them by the superhero persona. Whenever I talk about DC characters, I'm always saying Bruce and Clark and Diana.
Yeah.
I always see them as human beings more than superheroes. And like, there's no Marvel book for me that I would read once a year. There's no like Dark Knight Returns.
Of course.
There's no Superman Birthright over like at Marvel. Like, there's
well, that's what
I'm,
is that there, is that they are like these texts that are testaments to them.
Sure, sure.
But the idea of just like, oh, Batman hanging out doesn't work versus the other characters of Marvel hanging out together works.
Yeah, you don't see the Justice League getting shawarma together.
Exactly.
I understand that. That's interesting.
Which is neither good nor bad, it's just a different, to me, it's always like a very different vibe.
Sure, sure. So you mentioned how Judaism affects your work, like the time travel story.
Yeah.
Did comic books affect your work, or like the stuff that you were into as a kid when you were in anime and manga?
Totally. You know, it's I think, for me, I'm trying to think, but like, I mean, everything influences you mm-hmm. all the time. I'm going to steal this because it's a really cool quote, and I'm not going to do it justice, but I saw Guillermo del Toro speak at an event once.
Cool.
And what he basically said was that you think as a writer you have to come out of things, that writers come out of things by themselves,
mm-hmm.
that they are these just things that, you know, from Zeus these stories came out.
Sure, sure.
And he's like, it's not that. It's more like a fairy tale where you walk around a forest and you just pick up things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, here's an acorn. Mm-hmm. Here's a piece of string. Here's a button.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know why you're picking them up. They're just cool things to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through the forest, you run into a goblin.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for the goblin to get you past, you need to give him the button.
Sure, sure.
And in order to pass the broken bridge, you need the string.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's what storytelling is that you live your life picking up all of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you want to regurgitate it, you need to translate all the stuff that you know into a new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's storytelling.
That's so cool. I like that a lot.
And for me, it was like, I can't write anything because I can't think of anything that's not based off of something I've already read.
Yeah.
Or experienced. It's like, no, you just have to take all the stuff that you know and transmute it into something new and different.
Yeah, the way that Siegel and Shuster did.
That's all stories, is taking stuff and then just rewriting it.
Taking the legend of the golem.
Exactly.
And then putting a cape on him.
Yes.
I love that.
So for me, it's like, yeah, all of the things that I read and experienced inform that. And I think one of the things that, when I heard him say that, I like, was the thing I needed to hear to start writing.
Sure.
It was like, I can't come up with anything completely original. Nothing's completely original.
Yeah.
All
and
that
there's
stuff
power in
you.
That. I love being a part of a continuity of humanity.
Yeah.
Not a continuity in a comic book sense, but a continuity of human beings that we're carrying these stories forward. Like, the Superman story should never die. It is so important to culture
right.
that it should be going on forever, long after we're all dead. And I hope people keep retelling it and retelling it and retelling
yeah.
it, because it should only get better and it'll only help us more and more. And it's the same thing with Judaism, obviously.
Yes.
These are amazingly powerful stories that humanity can't forget. And when you forget, we see what happens. We're talking about like masculinity degrading.
Yeah.
Like there's consequences for losing these things that are so useful.
And the struggle with them, is that you need to recognize the struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like there is a power to Superman doing all these things, but the fact that it's hard
mm-hmm.
is what makes it more inspirational. Not that he just does these things because he's good. It's the... I forgot my girlfriend's birthday is as equally as important as saving the world. That
yeah.
He has an introspection is important.
Yeah, yeah, that humanity to it. It's really cool. Speaking of humanity, you're an amazing person. I'm really happy
you came on
today. This is excellent. One of my favorite podcasts we've done so far.
Oh,
this
awesome.
Is
thank
really
you.
Cool. I'll say that on air. I don't care. This is amazing. If people want to engage your work and read what you've done and talk to you, where can they find you online?
Basically, everything is at Alex Wolinetz. I try and keep it simple.
You mind spelling it for me?
Yes, of course. It's Wolinetz.
And Alex, just A-L-E-X.
Just A-L-E-X, yeah, regular spelling.
So that you're on, like, Twitter and all that
Twitter,
jazz.
Facebook, Instagram. Yeah, if anyone wants to read my stuff and you can't find it, email me. You can probably figure out what it is if all of my stuff is Alex Wolinetz. I'm on a very popular email account. Yeah. You can reach out to me and I'll send you stuff if you
want to
read it.
Cool. And we'll post some stuff on the actual website,
yes,
too, if you're cool with that. This is amazing. I'm looking forward to all of your upcoming comics and plays and TV shows.
And I'm excited for yours as well.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks, man. Until next time, everybody. Up, up, and away.
Woo!
Ooh, Super Friends with Eric Esquivel.